Welcome to Spending Time with Juliet, a program featuring in-depth interviews with gospel artists, songwriters, authors, and musicians who inspire and uplift God through their work. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We are so blessed to have you here with us. And again, keep God first and always trust in God. God is good all the
time. Why should I feel discouraged? And why should a shadow come? And why should my heart be lonely? It's a longing for heaven and home, but in Jesus is, He's my portion.
Juliet, I have an amazing, amazing award-winning gospel artist, Mary Daly. Mary, can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
My name is Mary Daly.
Now, Mary, tell people about who is Mary Daly and her journey. Let's talk, Mary. Tell people about you. They want to know about you. Let's talk. Talk about what you've been through, how you got to where you've gone, your journey.
I've been married 32 years. I have 14 grandchildren. And I got one on the way.
Wow.
How about that?
That's a lot, Mary.
Yes. Yes, it is. And then I have, I've been singing since I'm thinking about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was younger, I remember sitting for the TV watching Diana Ross and the Supremes, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, God, could you let me sing like that? Let me be that kind of person that people will listen to, pay attention to. And I've seen the journey as it began at age of 8, where God had given me the gift. And so I would sing for like PTA meetings and big gatherings at the school. And I remember them giving me flowers, and because they were, you know, blown away that I could sing stuff like This Is My Country, stuff like When I Think of Home, and, you know, things that at that age you could say a child wouldn't be able to do.
Wow. Now, you say you ask God for this. God gives you what you ask for, even at 8 years old, if you are sincere.
Yeah.
Now, when you first started, you said you wanted to be like Diana Ross, but something turned that made you want to sing for God. What turned?
Going to church and seeing other singers in the church that they had the voice like Diana, or they had that stability, but it was in God's hands. You understand what I mean by that? And so that it inspired me to say, okay, I can do this. You know, I can sing. But I had to be coached, because a lot of times as a child, you're kind of scared. You don't know what to think, and people are expecting so much from you. And so I began to sing more at church, more for like Easter pageants, more for in a choir, start doing that kind of stuff. And that kind of taught me to maintain my goosebumps or my butterflies. You understand that?
So I know you were scared and stuff as a child doing this, but how did you overcome all that? You was little. You was a baby singing.
Yeah. I began to... I think what happens, you begin to see how that helped other people hearing you sing. So that kind of made you feel like, okay, I can do this. Even though I'm scared, I can do it.
Now, as you were growing up, who was your biggest influencers?
I would listen to Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
The Winans. James Cleveland. Yeah, James Cleveland. Who else was that? Yes, I was growing up. This guy named Henry Neal, because he sung sometime with James Cleveland. Because I even went to church with him and didn't even know.
Wow.
Who he really was.
And now, so, you grew up in the church. Were your parents like ministers?
My grandparents.
Now, do you think that they influenced you to be a gospel singer? Your grandparents?
No, they didn't. They knew I had a voice. And so when I got up and sung, you know, they're like, wow, okay. Nobody taught me. I think God was just directing me. Plus, I had some teachers at the school that said, you know, let's, you know, sing this there, let's do this. So they were kind of guiding me, and they didn't even know what they were doing.
Wow. Now, Mary, do you play an instrument?
I pick. How's that? I can play the drums a little bit, but I can pick keys.
What exactly is picking keys? What does that mean, you pick? I don't understand. What is picking?
So, say this, I'm going, very soul. I may go to the piano. Now, if you hit that key, singing that key, till I find that key.
Wow. So
then
you kind of...
the other key to it. You got what I mean? Very soul. Keep going down the range, so I go, it's serving a God who cares for you. Until I find the key. Yeah.
So a lot of your songs, you just go to the piano and just find a key yourself and just pick it until you feel something?
Well, how I do it is, remember in the Bible it talks about the Holy Ghost overshowered them and they begin to write the Bible? Because back then it was overshowering. It came over them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get that feeling of sensation where there's a song and I can feel it, and the Holy Ghost begin to download it. And I begin to sing that song and tears come. And then later on, it's my God says, okay, now it's your job is to present it to people.
Now, how old were you when you first wrote your first song? How old?
18.
18. And
yes. As I can go back, so I was like 10 and 11. Mm-hmm. I used to sit in the back with my cousins, and we would write stuff like, you know, butter, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Right.
I had a recorder, you know, a recorder, and we would sit there, and I would say, okay, you sing that part, I'll sing that.
Mary, speak up some. Speak up some.
I said, I think it started when I was like 9 or 10. We would go in the backyard with my cousins at my grandma's, and we would just sing stuff like peanut butter, we use this peanut butter cup. We put little parts to it. Record it on the tape recorder. So it started at an early age.
Wow. Now, what inspired you to write this song? You just didn't wake up during your dream and say, oh, I'm going to write a song. What really inspired you to write your first song?
When I was 18, I went to a church conference.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was right. And I remember saying to God, okay, everybody else can write a little, why I can't?
Mm.
Okay? I said, Lord, you know, everybody else is writing songs, you know, why can I do that? And I remember writing to the convention, and I began to write. Remember those when you get pantyhose, you get that paper inside of them?
Right.
Cardboard, white?
Yes.
I remember, I took one of those and started writing down the song.
On a cardboard in the pantyhose?
The pantyhose cardboard.
Wow.
And I remember saying, I went down there and I was singing it to the people down there because they knew me. And I remember us singing it. So that was at 18.
Wow. Now, when you write a song, do you get like the melody first? Do you get the lyrics first? You all at the same time?
Yeah, I can hear it in my head. It's like that one I wrote. There's a song called that I have. It's not out yet, but I'm planning on reaching. It's called "I Won't Give." So I hear it in my head. I can hear the melody. I can hear where it should go because I sing it exactly as. And so if I go to a studio and I say, hey, I need to get the music to this, I'll sing it exactly how it sounds.
Now, if you would label the style of music you sing, well, how would you label your sound?
Traditional and what's the other one? Starts with a C. I can't even...
Contemporary?
Huh?
Contemporary?
Yes, contemporary and traditional.
Hmm. Now, how did you come up with your sound? Because you're a little different, Mary. How did you come up with your sound?
It comes from a little bit of Motown feeling.
Speak up. What did you? It comes from what, Mary? Speak up.
The little of the Motown feeling.
Oh. So you got a little Motown in you. You got little Temptations and Supremes in you.
You listen to a little like you and that rhythm going. So I'm in the midst of the traditional, temporary, and the Motown in there. It's got that rhythm going. So I'm in between those.
Now, if you could write a song for an artist that's out here now, who would you consider writing a song for?
That is, wow. Who would I do that for? Are you an older or a new artist?
Whoever. They could be alive or dead. Who would you want to sing one of your songs?
It'd be Cameron Mann. CC Winey, because if you listen to some of Tamela Mann's music, you can almost collaborate those two girls together.
Wow.
With their styles, because, and then you got a little Shirley Caesar going on there. Yes. And then there was one more person I think of a lot. How are you, Donna Adams?
Oh, I like her too. I like all those ladies. I like those ladies. Mm-hmm. Now tell me, what makes a good singer? What does a good singer need to possess in order to, you know, to move the people? What you think, what do you think a good singer needs?
The anointing.
Yes. You know.
No anointing, no breaking of the yoke.
Yes. You know, because people can sing. But if it's missing the anointing from God, you just making noise.
Yeah, and Bible says sounding brass and tinkling cymbals.
Say that again, Mary.
Sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. That means you're just out there making noise.
Yes. You know, I don't know about you, but during COVID, during the shutdown, everybody became a musician, a singer. What do you think?
Yeah, I did. That's when me and my manager worked really hard on things. There was more my face on Facebook. There was me doing something. That's when I wrote a book called Me and My Friend Robin Riley.
Wait a minute, Mary. Hold up. Wait a minute. You wrote a book?
Yes, ma'am.
Now tell me about this book and what inspired you to write a book.
Well, I've been saying, okay, God, you know, I want to write a book. And finally, when COVID hit, God said, okay, this is time, write the book. So I began to send my stuff to my friend. She would type it out. And she would add little parts to it. And so finally, we got the book done. We sent it to Covenant Books. Mm-hmm. And it's called Little Nuggets of Encouragement. You can find it on Amazon.
Now, what is this book about?
Telling people to never give up on their dreams.
Yes.
And then it says, the subtitle says, I will be what he called me to be. I will be. That means no matter what happens, I have to be what God calls me to be.
Yes.
And don't let people steal your dreams. And know that there's dream catchers out there. People that think they can have what is made and mold for you.
Wow.
But what is for you is for you. If I go before God, well, if I go to a table and there's all these dreams, and I go to the table and I see mine, but I decide, no, I'm going to take Juliet's dream. And they say, that's not mold for you.
Now, Mary, what inspired you to write a book like this?
Because I've seen so many people think they can have other people's place. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean by that?
Yes, they want what the gift that God gave somebody else instead of the gift that God gave them.
And so what I've learned is, if somebody has 3 or 4, 20, 30 gifts, mm-hmm. that means they put in the time and God gave that to them.
Wow.
A talent. So if God gives you 5 talents and you go out and you accomplish those talents and you work it, God's going to give you more.
Yes. You better tell him, Larry. You better tell him.
So if you got 10, God says, okay, go work those 10. So you go work that 10, come back to God. He said, baby, you don't get, oh, my God, here's 10 more.
Mm.
So you look at somebody and you say, man, I want what they got, but you don't know what they went through to get it.
Yes. Yes. Now, Mary, what is it? Go ahead.
So why would you want something that somebody else has worked hard on?
Exactly.
Their sweat and their time. And you get it and take it and make a sample of it. That's why you need to take on what's yours and make that work and build on that and not build on somebody else.
Amen. Now, Mary, what is the name of this book again?
Little Nuggets of Encouragement.
Now, and the people can find this book where?
On Amazon.
Okay. Y'all better buy that book. Y'all better find that book, because it is a lot of people that are out here thinking, I want this person's stuff. I want that. But God gave you your own things. And you got to, like Mary said, you got to build on what God gave you.
And on top of it, with the book, every time I talk, I will give a quote. I will talk about something and I'll give a quote to it from the Bible. I'll put a Bible scripture with it. I'll put a song with it. And then I put a Weber dictionary, something from the Weber. So that it's like a devotional.
Wow.
So people can get inspired about who they are, because everybody has a gift.
Yes.
It might not be like yours. It might not be like mine. But we all have gifts. And so it's good to say, God, show me what you want. Show me what you want for me. Show me what you have given me to produce or me to put out. I may not understand what you do, but what you do is unique.
Wow.
Okay.
I like that, Mary. I like that. Now, do you have any advice for someone that's trying to be an author, as a published author, as you are? You got any advice for them?
Look within your inner self. And if you feel that draw up to write, research it. Fast and pray. Talk to God. And start writing it down. Even if you got to type it in your phone and save it. And go back to it and look at it. I've learned that having, using my voice in the media is so good for me, because a song will come to my head, a melody, and I'll go sing it in there, and then I'll go back later and listen to it.
Now, Mary, you had something very traumatic happen through your health. You want to talk about that?
Yes, and I'll talk about when I was I got married at 33, 32. I can't remember now. And so I had, at that time, how many kids? I had four. And I said, okay. At first, I kept miscarrying. And I said, okay, Lord, I've been a youth director for 16 years. Okay, God, and I took care of everybody else's kid. Okay, God, you know what? Can I just get one? One out of the deal? So, I got the two boys, and then I had another one, and I miscarried one, and then I had another one. And then, at the time, I had four. I said, okay, God, I'm done now. Okay. So I went and I got myself. Then, at the time, I had four. I said, okay, God, I'm done now. Okay. So I went and I got myself cut, tied, and burnt. I said, okay. I was telling God, look, I'm done. Oh, 2 years from that girl, I came out pregnant again.
Oh, no. Wow.
And I said, God has a sense of humor.
Oh, you know what? I agree, Mary. God, funny. He's got jokes. Folks don't think he got a sense of humor, but he does.
Yeah. Well, see, I begged him, right? I begged him for another baby, right? For the baby. And I told him I was done.
Right. He said,
I'm done. So, in between his pregnancy, at that time I was almost 4 or 5 months. Didn't even know it. With the baby end up, she had Robert syndrome, where the arms and hands are different sizes. But they said to me, she ain't gonna live for 20 minutes. And I said, well, guys, you meant for me, if you meant that this baby was choose cut, tied, and burnt, is in my stomach growing, you meant something for something good to come out of this.
Right.
So they bought me, was going to bring me over a baby that was had been dead. They thought, oh, put her out of my stomach. Oh, she, and put her on the table, and they went to clean her up to bring her to me. And she opened her eyes like, okay, I'm here.
Wow.
And he said, well, if she come out, she need oxygen, we're not going to save her. She didn't need oxygen until the next day. Right now, she'll be 27 in 2 weeks.
Wow.
She can draw. She can do everything everybody else do. Mm-hmm. She just got short limbs. That's it.
Wow. Listen, she was meant to be here. I don't care what nobody said.
No. And every time the doctors say, we're going to have to do this, and I'll say, we're going to pray about that. And God would just, he said, I don't even know what to say, because this child has done everything we say she can't do.
The impossible. The impossible.
She can read. She can do everything. She can do everything everybody else. She can play video games. And she don't even look like she's my child. And she's so white looking.
Oh, my goodness, Mary. Wow.
But I've been a diabetic since I was 20.
Wow.
And so I'm gonna fast forward. So my one morning I woke up, my daughter had to go to work, and I said, okay. And I got up and my eyes were just blurry. I couldn't hardly see the stop signs. I couldn't hardly see the light.
Wow.
And I drove with a woman. And I didn't say nothing. So she called me and said, Mom, I need you to come get me. I'm done. I said, okay. So I went and got her. And I said, where is your driving license? Because she had a permit at the time. She said, Mom, I live at a home. I said, girl, I can't see nothing.
Wow.
I drove home.
And you couldn't see?
She had to drive. Everything was glory. You know what glory does.
Oh, my God.
She had to tell me the light was green and red and stop signs. And all. It was, so the next morning I went home, laid down that night, got up in the morning. My eyes were bloodshot red.
Wow.
Went to the doctor and said, you got glaucoma. And
that was like instant, Mary. It wasn't no slides. You just woke up one morning and couldn't see.
Yeah, just woke up one morning. And around that time, there was like a lot of people around that time had the same issue happen to them. So I don't know if that was a demonic thing or something, but it was a lot of people having the same issue. I don't know what was going on. So I remember going to church that morning. Somebody brought me in and the pastor said, what is wrong with you? I said, I can't hardly see. He looked at me, he said, let's pray. Let's pray. And that's what that last song I wrote called, one of the songs called, God, I Need Your Hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about my faith sometimes gets weak and it seems like I'm all alone. With no one to call when I'm in need, Lord, I need you to stretch out your hand indeed. And it says, your hand can heal the land. Your hand can touch my heart. Your hand is all I need for me to make it through. And then it says, God, I need your hand. And that's why I wrote that. Because at that time, man, I felt like, oh, my God, what did I do? Did I do something wrong? You know, sometimes we don't eat the best things. Sometimes we don't treat our bodies right.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes things come on us. We don't deserve it.
Right.
It's like the man said. That's like the man that sat by the pool of Bethesda. He didn't cause nothing. He didn't. That blind, whatever was wrong with him was nothing he did or his parents did.
Right.
It was to glorify God.
Yes. Wow.
So sometimes we go through things for God's glory.
Wow. And you still singing, you still praising God. You know, like you said, a lot of times you go through stuff and it's not because you're being punished. It's just sometimes it's just a test.
Yeah, it's a test. It's all it is. It's a test. So what happened was, as the doctor did a surgery on the eye, one eye, because either one eye is pretty much, I can see around the rimlets, but I can't see the really good. But he said, this eye, your eyes are not going to change. So when he, after the surgery, he bought it. Now, if you bring your hand up to my right eye, I can see your hand. It's blurry, but I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see better than people think. It's just when it's dark, it makes it hard. And if you try to get my attention, I have to really focus and look at you. But I can see you if I can. Oh, you're talking to me? Okay. But if you haven't caught my attention, then I'm not focusing on you.
Now, Mary.
A lot of times I could say to people, I didn't see you over there. And I did.
Now, Mary,
I look over there.
Mary, you Grammy nominated. Tell us about being a Grammy nominated singer. How did that happen?
Someone submitted my song to the Grammys, and I was nominated for consideration.
Wow!
And so that was amazing. You know, I don't know how many entries they had come in. 20, I don't know, they had 2,000, 4,000, 5,000. But that was just amazing to have my song be picked for consideration.
Wow. Now, Mary, do you have any advice for anyone that's just trying to do what Mary has accomplished? You know, even through your health issues, you keep on praising God. Even through your, you know, the blurriness in your eyes, you're still able to see and write music, pick that piano. You got any advice for people who are going through health challenges, even though, and still out here accomplishing things that are impossible?
Because I take my sickness as a minor affliction.
Mm-hmm.
So I take it as, yeah, it's major, but at the same time, we know a God that is able.
Yes, we do.
And
yes,
so
we do.
So what I do is, we have to work our own salvation, our own calling. We all go through a test in life, and so we have to accomplish those tests. So what I do is, I tell myself, I'm a singer. What do singers do? Sing. What does writers do? Write. What does the piano do? Piano player does practice. So a singer practices, singers sing to people, singer ministers to people. So I tell myself I have to work on being who I am, which is Mary Davey, with God's help. So no matter how sick I am, I have to be able to look beyond my sickness. Because God looks beyond our faults.
He does. He does.
And he's seen our needs. So that means we have to look beyond our sickness and look beyond our tests.
Amen. So, Mary, we're going to listen to one of your songs right now. So hold on a second while I play it for you, okay?
Stars in play.
Wow, Mary, that's a beautiful song. That's a beautiful song. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, Mary, where can the people find your music?
They can go to Amazon. They can go to all the digital platforms. I'm there. Spotify, iTunes, iHeart. They can go to all of them.
Now, Mary, do you have any last words or encouragement that you want to give any upcoming artist, upcoming author, and someone doing what you're doing, Mary? You have any advice, words of encouragement?
Stay true to themselves.
Okay.
Never waver. Stay true to themselves.
Well, Mary, that's some good advice, and I want to thank you for spending some time with Juliet. And thank you so much, Mary. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning into my program. I hope you join us again next week. So enjoy your morning, your afternoon, or your evening. And again, keep God first, and God is good all the time. See you again.